Our listeners may be familiar with the name Anne Hornsby or Mind's Eye Arts. Each month we speak to Anne, and it's all around audio described events, you know, theatres, visitor attractions, arts venues. More and more places now are incorporating audio description to allow blind and partially sighted people better access. And let's face it, it's all about enjoying yourself as well. Now, today we are chatting with Anne, but we're not talking about what's coming up in terms of theatre productions. I'm going to chat a little bit about Mind's Eye Art itself, where it all began, because there's a very special event taking place on the 1st of December. To tell us more, we have with us Anne. Hello.
Hello there, Alan.
You have a big event coming up, so tell us about the event first of all. What's it to celebrate?
This event is to celebrate 25 years since I launched Mind's Eye Description
Wow.
Services. I was working at the Octagon as head of marketing, and one of our blind customers, Sheila Burkett, had heard about audio description. And this was nearly 30 years ago, so there was only one theatre in the country offering it. It was happening in America, but not in this country, really. So we worked out how we could manage to get the describer's voice to the customers in the theatre. And also, Sheila Burkett was very, very helpful in giving advice in terms of what people needed to know who were listening. So on the 1st of December at the Octagon Theatre in Bolton, which is where it all began, from 3 o'clock onwards, there's a little celebration where we will raise a glass or two and enjoy a seasonal mince pie. And all friends and supporters, people who come along to audio described performances, everyone is very welcome to join us there. We just need to know you're coming so we can buy enough mince pies.
Yay, we'll give you some contact details a bit later. 25 years. Imagine starting a business when you were 12. That's amazing, Anne.
It is.
Well done. The dragons would be proud of you if it was on back in the telly back then. This was groundbreaking at the time in the UK. You know, we've got the technology there because you have to have the headphones that people listen to for the audio description. Yeah, you are professionals as well. Audio description is a professional service. So, you know, presumably a lot had to be done back then. You know, what do people want to hear? How much information do we need? It must have been a bit of a leap of faith.
We began just taking experimental steps at the Octagon, getting the feedback from the listeners, playing around with the equipment. Phil Clark was our chief technician, and he worked out the best way to transmit the messages. About the same time, we also started experimenting with touch tours. So I thought, well, why not take people on the stage beforehand? And this is revolutionary. Of course, now it's common practice and it happens at just about all audio described performances. But then it was a new idea. And it was just because I had the commitment and the encouragement from the theatre management and the stage management teams and the actors that I was able to take people onto the stage beforehand so people could touch the scenery, explore the costumes, quite often say hello to the actors. And this was a new thing back then. So it all developed from there. So we started just with one or two shows and with feedback from the listeners. And to begin with, I did it on a voluntary basis along with one or two other people, but then it always sort of fell to me, and it just seemed to fit into my interests, which is, of course, theatre, writing, background in performing. And it all grew from there, and then people started coming from Liverpool, from Manchester, from much further afield, and saying, well, this is good, but we'd like it in our theatre. And about the same time, I started working with Manchester Art Gallery and talking to them about how we could make the visual arts more accessible through audio description, through describing what's there and letting people touch wherever possible. So it's amazing to think at that time there was practically nothing in the country. And then now, obviously, it's quite a widespread access service, although we still have some way to go.
Even adverts now are starting to be
Yes.
audio described as well.
Yeah,
it's mushroomed, but you know, there's still, as you say, there's a lot of work to do, whether it's at the theatres or whether it's, you know, TV and cinema, to get more and more audio described. But you know, do you find that venues are more receptive and open to it now?
Yes, I mean, we have had disability legislation over the last few years, which has made a difference. But I think that as people have become more used to the idea, it's become much more the norm to offer that service. So, yes, venues are open to it. Sometimes there's discussion around, if it's a touring production, whether the touring company will contribute towards the costs of it and so on. And the thing is, with audio description in theatres, certainly you always need the equipment. So there's a capital investment to be made there. But that's something that people can fundraise for specifically, to buy the equipment and keep it updated so that it can be used on a regular basis, and they can provide audio description throughout the year for their programmes.
In terms of now, Anne, what's a typical year like for you? Are you out on the road quite a lot?
I am, yes. I work most evenings and most Saturdays. Usually get Sundays off, except for during the pantomime season when we have pantos on Sundays as well. Because we don't just turn up to do the audio description. As you mentioned, it's a profession, so we have high standards. So that comes from being fully prepared, from attending the performance two or three times, from scripting what we're going to be saying, and then we rehearse it to make sure as far as possible that we can fit in the gap so that we're not talking at the same time as the actors. And then we provide the introductions, which are about 10 or 15 minutes, a description of the set, the costumes, the lighting effects, any conventions, a little bit of background. So all that takes preparation time. So if I'm not actually delivering a description, then I will be out taking notes and watching the performances, getting ready for them. So I think I do about 90 or 100 descriptions a year. So I'm pretty busy, really.
Wow. And you know, it's testament to the fact that, you know, it's a professional service. More and more places are getting this, and the demand is there as well, because it's growing that demand for people to say, you know, we want this, and going to the local theatres to say, you know, please could you get some audio described shows on. Because, you know, what I found, you know, working during the day, sometimes it's difficult to get an evening performance. You know, you get a lot of matinees, which can be audio described. But it is, you know, it's getting better, but we need more and more visually impaired people to go and say, please, please, let's have more.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's what the venues will listen to, because if I say, I think you should do more, then it sounds like I'm saying, give us a job. And the same with the galleries and the museums. This is what I say to people. Well, talk to those venues and people like me that provide audio description, but I also provide training for people that work in galleries and museums. So there's no reason for them not to do it, and they should be providing equality of access. So, yes, I think they listen more if they have the blind and partially sighted potential customers saying to them, we want this service, and then we'll be able to come.
Now, it is, as we say, a very highly skilled and a very professional service, providing audio description. And that has been recognised for yourself in particular, Anne, hasn't it?
Yes, I'm delighted to say that I won an award. I had an international award for my services to audio description. So that was very thrilling to have that. That was from the American Association of Blind People. And so, yes, that's got pride of place.
Fantastic. And international recognition as well, because, you know, audio description is international.
Yes. And it's interesting to see how it's developed in different countries, and there are different styles, and there are some schools of thought that think you should be more objective and some that think you should sound more involved or less involved. So it's always interesting when we have events with the Audio Description Association or international events to discuss these matters and to talk to the listeners and see what people think and what they prefer and how best to deliver the service. And obviously a big part of that is the technology, because earphones and headphones can be uncomfortable to wear and there can be interference on the system. And this is one of the biggest problems we have, is that it's not a clean sound. And it's come a long way since I first started. When we first started and we used to be using a radio system, then it used to pick up the local taxis. And so. be a bit disconcerting in a Shakespearean play.
Absolutely, yes. Indeed. Although, mind you, Shakespeare does have some contemporary stuff in it now. If you go to see it in Stratford, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I remember going to see, I think it was a Hamlet performance, they had helicopters flying over.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, 25 years, what does the future hold then? Do you see expansion, anything in the planning stages, anything else you want to do?
I think I'd just like to keep on keeping on. I really enjoy the delivery side of it. I enjoy meeting the people I'm working for and getting feedback from them, making sure I'm providing a good service. And I have a small team of audio describers as well who work for Mind's Eye now. So if there are events that I'm not able to do, I don't need to let people down. I can always find another describer for them. I have lots of colleagues who I can work with. So we're just about encouraging more venues to provide the service. There are interesting developments where audio description is being integrated more as part of the performance. So that's something else to look into. There are also developments where audio description is being recorded, so it's pre-recorded, and then somebody presses a button each time a piece of description is required. So that's interesting in that it can be accessible on more than one night, on more than one performance. But obviously it doesn't quite have the edge over something that's delivered live. So it's a bit of a compromise.
Yeah.
It's also an interesting area for development in audio description.
And you couldn't do that in likes of a pantomime or something because, you know, random, you know, they can just go off script and ad lib and do strange things. So you really need a live person there to do it.
Yes, yes, it was interesting. Just at the one yesterday morning and at the slop scene, the dame is saying, right, what should we make today? And then a voice from off stage suddenly shouts, "Raspberry Surprise," which obviously wasn't what she was expecting, and that threw a fit of giggles. But you never know with Panto. I mean, you can script it as much as you like, but you have to be on the edge of your seat, ready for anything.
Your celebration, your 25-year celebration coming up on the 1st of December, Anne. But you've got a bit of a plea as well, because you're looking for someone. You're looking for our listeners to see if they can help you track down someone.
I am indeed. Yes, if anybody is in contact with Sheila Burkett, or Sheila, if you're listening, do please get in touch. The email is mindseyedescription@gmail.com, or the telephone number 01204 522 481, because we would love you to be at the party on the 1st, because it was your suggestion all those years ago that made the Octagon Theatre start offering audio description and set the ball rolling. So Sheila lived in Bolton and was still coming to the Octagon up until 2 or 3 years ago, and then moved away to be closer to her family. Unfortunately, we've lost contact. So if anybody knows Sheila, or Sheila, if you're listening, do please get in touch, because we'd love to have you there.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to come along and celebrate, same contact details, Anne?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, just let us know you're coming and you'll be very welcome. And that evening is the audio described performance of A Christmas Carol at
Yay.
The Octagon. So
I wish I was coming. Favourite.
I know. Oh. So if anybody wants to, there aren't very many tickets left, but there are a few that have been held back for more people wanting to attend the audio description. So get in touch for that as well.
Lovely. Anne, have a great night on the 1st of December. Congratulations on your, that's what's a silver anniversary, isn't it?
Yes,
your silver jubilee. And here's to the next 25 years. Anne, pleasure speaking with you as always. Thanks for chatting here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye.